This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. There's a secret circulating in this world of ours. It has to do with gaining and maintaining optimum health, and it has nothing to do with drugs, diet, or divine intervention. It also, for some reason, has a lot to do with women. Our guest today has spent 7 years traveling and interviewing women healers from all over the globe. She discovered that although modern medicine dominates most cultures, there's a revival of traditional plant-based healings in many countries. She has placed her findings and the stories she uncovered in a compelling new book called Women Healers of the World, The Traditions, History, and Geography of Herbal Medicine. This globe-trotting author is named Holly Belabono, and she's with us today. Holly, welcome to HeartWise.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, right off the bat, I need to ask, why women healers? Aren't men into this type of healing as well?
They absolutely are. There are a lot of worthy men out there working in herbal medicine and different types of healing, and I certainly respect them. The reason I wanted to focus on women, though, was because as an herbalist, having been an herbalist for about 20 years now and studying plants, it became increasingly obvious to me that I wasn't hearing much about the women who have contributed to this heritage. I remember going through high school and college and different seminars and learning about men scientists and men botanists and men researchers who have done a great job, and we've learned a lot from them, but I felt like there was a hole. I felt like women were very much involved but weren't being celebrated, weren't being talked about. And so I wanted to make this a book of celebration. I wanted to acknowledge the women who have contributed not only to plant and folk healing methods, being the proverbial wise woman that you hear about,
right,
but also the real researchers and physicians who are working today with pharmacology and chemistry, who are really contributing to a science, but they're not being acknowledged. So I really wanted this to be a celebration of them.
Now, I've discovered in interviewing a lot of people on the subject of health that there is usually a personal reason. You just mentioned one, that you wanted to find out about the women healers from the world. Why did you get into herbs?
Herbs have fascinated me for a long time. When I was in my mid-20s, I started working for a gardener and a landscaper to pay my way through college, mm-hmm, and went into it for fun because I like to be outdoors, because I got to work with my hands in the dirt, which I enjoyed. But I really began to learn that herbs, wild plants, that you could just go out in the forest could be edible, which I really had no idea. You know, growing up in suburban America, many of us go to the grocery store. We're not really aware that a lot of the plants that we see out in the great outdoors can be food. And that was a big eye-opener. And then from there, it was the quick understanding that they could also be medicine. And I really approached herbal medicine from a very spiritual perspective, looking at plants as teachers, really honing my intuition and being able to perceive what was going on in nature, loving going out in the woods for walks, really connecting with a lot of plants and trees. It was very, very much a heart awakening time for me. And since then, my interest has grown. It's evolved more into the people of herbal medicine, mm-hmm, which is why I wrote this book, and also the people who want to learn herbal medicine, which is why I established my herb school, so that I can teach people and have students and help other people enjoy their path of experience in spirituality and the natural world and learning about what's around them.
Now, Holly, herbs, why don't we hear this from our doctor? When we go to a doctor with a symptom, we're not going to hear him say, go out to the field with a little knife and cut down XYZ herbs, take them home, boil them, or make them into a powder and eat them. Why aren't we hearing this from the medical profession?
Yeah, you're right. You won't. You won't hear doctors do that exactly. But interestingly, in the past few years, there have been a number of medical schools who are including courses in herbal medicine as part of their curriculum, which is great, I think, because, you know, a lot of allopathic medicines, modern medicines, do derive from plants. So such as aspirin, you know, the classic example coming from willow or meadowsweet because they have salicylic acid in them. So to study the pharmacology of plants, I think, is important for the medical profession, and I think they're starting to understand that. But you're not going to go to the doctor and hear them say, you know, go out in your yard and cut down some chamomile from your garden and then boil it in a pot of water. Unfortunately, they're, and maybe fortunately, actually, you know, they're interested in allopathic medicine, which is their specialty, which is great because we do need that. We need antibiotics and we need modern medicine. It certainly has its place. But it is also very empowering to know that you can go out to your garden and cut down some chamomile and make a tea that is soothing and supportive to your nervous system and possibly sedative to help people who are suffering from insomnia, things like that. Very empowering to have that knowledge and to be able to balance that with more extreme examples of medicine such as modern medicine and antibiotics and to know when is the right appropriate moment for each. Mm-hmm. For instance, I usually advise people, you know, for Lyme disease, for strep throat, for meningitis, things like this that are very, very serious, to go get antibiotics. It's important that it's a very prominent, helpful medicine. But for most things, such as insomnia, such as cardiovascular issues, such as digestion, skin issues, nervous system, these are things that require a gentler approach, in my opinion, more of a holistic approach. They benefit really well from herbal medicine, especially since herbs are very high in vitamins and minerals. Mm-hmm. So if you're drinking a tea of stinging nettle, for instance, which is super mineral rich, not only are you addressing an issue, but you're also giving your body the nutrients that it needs. So it's very nourishing and supportive, which antibiotics are not.
Well, now that sort of answers the next question I want to ask you. If you have a headache and you take an aspirin, or if you have a headache and you take some willow bark, is there a difference between how your body responds to the aspirin or to the willow? Are there pluses and minuses on both sides of this issue?
Oh, definitely. Neither form of medicine is 100% great or 100% evil. Mm-hmm. There are advantages and disadvantages to both. Modern medicine, such as aspirin or antibiotics, can be very quick, and it can be very strong, which is needed in trauma and emergency situations, most definitely. Mm-hmm. The downsides to modern medicine is it can be addictive. They can have terrible side effects. You can go on to one thing, and then you have to go on to something else to manage the side effects from that first thing. So it can be a cascade of pills that you end up taking.
Right.
Herbal medicine is great, like I just mentioned, because it's slower acting, it's more of a tonic, it's more nourishing, but it also has downsides too. You know, there are certain herbs that do have side effects, and you have to be aware of those. And it's not a magic bullet. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that I really try to stress to my students, is people today are really used to going out and finding a pill for something and having it work quickly, and they're not establishing a connection with anyone. Mm-hmm. There's nothing spiritual about that. It's a very pharmacology-based medicine, and they're used to it working quickly. Herbal medicine doesn't do that. Generally, herbs take a while. Mm-hmm. They could take a couple of hours. They could even take weeks. And so it's a slower process. But in that process, even though you could look at that as a disadvantage, it helps you get in tune with your body. It helps you listen. It helps you become more aware of what's happening in your body and slow down and really experience what's going on in your life. And it also can help you establish relationships with other people, such as an herbalist or a naturopathic physician who is helping you. Because when you go to holistic medicine, you're trying to get the whole picture.
Sure.
So someone is going to help you not only with herbs for your rash or your indigestion, but they're going to help you work through relationships, or they're going to help you think about the way you set goals in your life, or, you know, any number of things. So completely different types of medicine. Neither one is 100% the best in every situation. It's really a wonderful endeavor to try and learn all you can about both.
It sounds like what you're saying, that if you have that headache and you take the aspirin, you're basically hitting the headache with a sledgehammer, very powerful medicine. Whereas if you took the willow, or if you took some kind of herb, you are easing yourself into getting over that headache. And also, is the herb providing a degree of healing? The aspirin doesn't heal you of anything, but does the herb actually bring healing into your life?
That's a great point. And yes, I agree with what you just said. That is pretty much what I was saying. And as far as the herb healing, well, aspirin is anti-inflammatory, mm-hmm. and willow and meadowsweet, because they have that salicylic acid, they are anti-inflammatory. So the pharmacology of herbs is that, yes, they do actually heal the body. Mm. But there's a lot more to it than that. There's a spiritual component to healing that comes from plants that is drawing on your own inner core, so to speak.
Yes.
Really allowing you to touch base and connect with something a lot deeper than yourself. Writing this book, Women Healers of the World, it really made me ask myself that very same question. Where does healing come from? Do we heal ourselves? Is it God? Is it a greater spirit? Is it the plants? Is it a chemical and a drug? Is it all of these combined somehow? Is it intention? You know, can we willfully heal ourselves? Or is it coincidence? You know, it can come from so many different places. The women that I spoke with in my book were very clear in many parts of this question and answering it. For many of them, especially the more shamanic or indigenous cultural women, the answer to where does healing come from was very much a two-part answer. It was, it comes from God, and through God it comes from you as the healer.
I hear you saying that when we use these natural ways, when we use the herbs, we're working in partnership with the God who made us, is what I hear you saying.
Yeah, that's the philosophy I picked up from a lot of the women that I interviewed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Was, it's a gift. Yeah. To be able to heal someone else is a gift. It's a talent that's given to you. For instance, one of the women I spoke with, Doña Enriqueta Contreras, is a midwife in Mexico. And she was very much of the opinion that healing comes from God, from Source. And then when you realize that you have this talent, that you've been gifted with this ability to heal others, you need to take it very seriously, and you need to have confidence in that ability. And self-confidence was a huge trait that was shared with me from a lot of these different women. And they said, you know, if you don't believe that you can actually do it, that you can heal other people, then you need to step back and center yourself and figure out where you're coming from, because taking ownership of that gift that you've been given is a huge part of being a healer for other people.
Mm. We're talking with Holly Belabono. She has written a book, Women Healers of the World, The Traditions, History, and Geography of Herbal Medicine. We'll take a short break and more with Holly and some stories from her travels around the world finding these wonderful women healers. So stay right where you are.
Why are you sitting here all by yourself while everybody else is playing soccer?
I'm mad.
Yeah? Who is it this time?
God.
God? You're mad at God? Can you do that?
I don't see why not. He knows what I'm thinking, so he already knows I'm mad at him.
What did he do?
It's not what he did, it's what he didn't do.
You're mad at God for something he didn't do? There's a switch. What didn't he do?
He didn't save my cat.
Perky?
Yes. Perky died. He got sick, and I prayed and prayed for him to get better, and he didn't. He just got sicker and sicker, and then...
Oh, Dora, I'm so sorry.
So you can forget about all those things I said about prayer. Prayer doesn't work. God doesn't listen.
You don't mean that.
I do. What good is it to pray if what you want doesn't happen?
Remember what the pastor said in church last week? He said that sometimes in this bad world, bad things happen. Even when we pray for good things, that's when we're supposed to ask God to help us be happy again.
Well, I don't feel like praying.
Then I think you should just sit here and remember Perky. When you feel better, you can pray and thank God for the happy times you had with that silly cat. Remember when he jumped off the table and landed on your dad's foot?
Yeah, I remember. And when he used to sleep on my pillow at night, his purring kept me awake. And I remember when he... Hey, Carlos, thank you.
Don't thank me.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Holly Belabono. She is an author and herbalist, and she has traveled the world to write a book, Women Healers of the World, The Traditions, History, and Geography of Herbal Medicine. Holly, let me ask you this question. You have said that healing comes from God through us, and that's a wonderful, wonderful vision to have in our hearts as we go about this. Was there anything in your travels that just surprised you? You did not see that coming at all? And any stories you can share with us about that?
I met so many incredible women who were so inspiring. That's probably what surprised me most, is that I knew that these would be phenomenal women, but I didn't realize how inspiring they would be. For instance, one is Auntie Velma de la Pena. I went out to Hawaii to meet her, and she is a Polynesian kahuna, or healer. She's also a kapuna, or elder, and had grandchildren and several great-grandchildren. She's in her 70s. And she surprised me, partly, because I walked into her house to interview her, and it turned out it wasn't a house at all, it was a tent. She lives in a large tarp tent at the base of a huge mountain range in Oahu, Hawaii, right above the ocean. So right between the mountains and the water, no walls in her tent. She had a rock pebbles on her floor, very, very open to the elements, open to nature. And she was just a wonderful woman. She was just incredible, very soft-spoken, and very much a healer in her community. She practiced La'au Lapa'au, which is Hawaiian herbal medicine, working with plants. And she also does massage, Lomi Lomi, and a type of community reconciliation or mediation called Ho'oponopono, which is a really lovely way of bringing people together after a conflict and helping people work out their relationships and their differences in a very peaceful manner. She was just an astounding woman who really shared with me a lot of her Polynesian traditional philosophies of healing. And I guess it surprised me because, partly because of her house, because it was a tent, but really more getting to know her, how interestingly she was also a Christian minister. So she brought in Christian philosophies and a love of Jesus with very nature-based philosophies and symbolism and connection to the natural world and what a lot of people consider primitive traditions, which I think are really actually very strong, beautiful traditions based on nature. So she was a wonderful woman to talk to.
Did you find this across the board, that most of the women that you talked to had in their minds a working relationship with something greater than themselves, with some kind of higher power?
I can't say for sure. There were certainly some women for whom that was a centering point, that was very strong for them. Most of the women I talked with did not refer to that explicitly. For many of them, I got the feeling that that was the case, but I really can't say for sure how central that was to many of their practices. For some of them, especially the more indigenous women, that was definitely true. Doña Enriqueta Contreras, the midwife in Mexico, that was certainly true. Auntie Velma de la Pena. There were a lot of women who inferred that they found support in a higher power, but that wasn't something that we went into in great detail in my research.
And the reason I ask that, you know, is do people who accept herbs into their body for healing have to believe that way? Or is there just simply power in herbs that are basically standalone?
That's a great question. I think there's a certain healing power in plants themselves simply because of their chemistry. Because of the pharmacology, you know, the alkaloids, resins, tannins, flavonoids, glycosides, saponins, all these different chemicals that are in plants that affect the human body and can actually heal certain conditions in the human body. So I think that's a given, and that's a place where anyone could take herbs and feel these benefits. But above and beyond that, I really think that there's a lot to plants that many people don't recognize. Personally, I have a very spiritual relationship with plants. I feel very in tune with them. I think plants have a certain energy about them that is above and beyond matter. Yes. You know, it's a spiritual energy. It's something that's difficult to describe, but you can certainly feel it. And I think inviting that in and connecting with that makes them even more powerful healers, because then you're not connecting with them just on a physical level, but on an emotional and a spiritual level as well.
I want to end our program. We just have about 3 minutes left here. I want to end our program with an example, what someone can do listening to this program right now. Let's say that person has a headache or some kind of body ache. Is there something they can do out in their yard that they can bring in and prepare to help them in that slow, gentle, and healing way that herbs offer?
Definitely. There are a number of plants that are pretty common in most people's gardens, for instance. Lavender, a lot of people grow lavender, and just the scent of that can be healing for a headache. You can also make a tea with it. Another nice thing to do with lavender is make an oil. So any sort of kitchen oil that you have, such as olive oil or canola or sweet almond or safflower, if you take your lavender flowers and some leaves and strip them off the stalk and put them in a saucepan and on very, very low heat, put it on the stove with the oil to cover. Say you've got 1 cup of lavender flowers and you cover with 1 cup of oil. Very gently heat that for about 20 minutes. Don't let it simmer. Just very gently, low heat. And after about 20, 30 minutes, strain it, and your oil will have absorbed many of the qualities of the lavender, including its wonderful fragrance. And that can be, say, rubbed on the temples. Mm-hmm. It can be used as a oil for the lips. It can be rubbed on the wrists, especially at night to help you sleep if you have a headache or if you're having trouble sleeping. Very simple way to bring in herbs from outside and enjoy them in the house and on the body and find some relief with them.
All right. Very, very good. Holly Belabono is the author of a wonderful book, and I got to say, beautiful photography in here as well, and she took most of the pictures. It is a coffee table-sized book with lots of information, lots of stories, and a lot of the guidance that you've been hearing on this program is all in this book. It's called Women Healers of the World, The Traditions, History, and Geography of Herbal Medicine. And where can we get a copy of this book, Holly?
People can go to my website. It's vineyardherbs.com, VineyardHerbs.com. I'll be happy to send them an autographed copy.
Oh, very, very good. And I have a copy here, and it's going to have an honored place in my library. And I get a lot of books, but this is going to be one of my favorites. Holly, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate your words of wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you. It was a great pleasure.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Holly Belabono inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.